Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Brian Lewis welcomes Microsoft MVP and Technical Director for IT Pro Magazine, Sean Duby, to the show as they discuss the new features in Active Directory for Windows Server 2012. Tune in as they chat about improvements made to deployment, virtualization, and management for AD. Brian, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to TechNet Radio. This is Brian Lewis, IT Pro Evangelist for Microsoft. And today I have with me Sean Duby. Sean, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, Brian. I am Technical Director for Windows IT Pro Magazine, which means I get to tell people I'm a technology journalist. But I also I have 25 years working in enterprise IT. I spent 15 years with Texas Instruments, where I designed and deployed Windows NT 3.5 and 3.5.1 around the world for TI. And then I moved to Intel, where I, where the timing worked out nicely, I got to be one of the primary architects for Intel's Active Directory, their core Active Directory infrastructure, and stayed for most of my time at Intel on the Directory Services team, working with Active Directory, growing it, and ending up for the last few years as being the design engineer to help set direction for some of the directory services that Intel uses. And then I sort of stepped over the fence a little bit and have been spending my time writing about identity issues for the enterprise. I have a column called in Windows IT Pro called Enterprise Identity, where I talk about things related to identity within the enterprise and also outside of the enterprise, the exploding and dynamic and rapidly changing area of cloud identity, to try and inform IT professionals what they should be paying attention to in working with cloud services and cloud security, and how to securely extend their identity out to the cloud for SaaS and other web services.
Awesome. That sounds like you have a great load of information for us. And that's exactly what we're hoping to get today from you, is some information. Today we're going to focus on Active Directory. And so what I'd like to start with is really, you know, Active Directory in Server 2012 has changed. And I'd like to start at the beginning of, you know, what do we have to do to install it and what's changed in that sense? Is there anything different there?
Well, the directory service team has really spent a lot of time when they're in their, the work that they did for Windows Server 2012, of making AD less intimidating. They spent a lot of time working with customer support services to find out what the primary call generators were for the directory services area and Active Directory in particular. And one of the areas that people had a lot of confusion on was the creation of domain controllers and creating more domain controllers and how you should configure them and all that. What we know as the DC promo process. And in Windows 2012, what they've done is made like the mother of all DC promo wizards. And so if you try to go to a command prompt in Windows Server 2012 and type in DC promo, basically you'll get a response that goes, it's not there anymore. You have to use the Active Directory installation and configuration wizard, I think is what it's called. And like so many other things in Windows 2012, this goes from Server Manager. So what you do is you first add the role to the server that you're going to do the work on. Of course, with Server Manager, you can do it locally or remotely. And then once that's done, you'll get a little alert flag up at the top in Server Manager that says you still need to do some configuration. And there's a link directly below it that says start the Active Directory configuration wizard. I think that's what it's called. So that launches this wizard, and it asks you many of the questions that the previous DC promo process had. But it makes it, number one, it makes it much easier. Number two, it does a ton of prerequisite checking beforehand, so that if your environment is such that you're gonna that the promotion would error out for some reason, it'll discover that beforehand, tell you why, and then give you some pointers as to what you can do to correct it. So thereby increasing the chance that the promotion will go well. It also has the ability to show you the PowerShell script that was created for it, and this is I think a good thing, but it's also a scary thing. When you are historically, when you've had to upgrade an Active Directory domain to the next version, if you were in 2003 and you're upgrading to 2008 or R2, you had to go through a process called AD prep for Active Directory prep. It's a command line program, and there are several components to it. There's a forest prep, there's a domain prep, and a couple other things related to group policy and such and syslog. And people were very, very paranoid about it, and I completely count myself in that regard when I was doing this for Intel too. Lots of testing, show me what the changes are and all that sort of thing. And the reality is, unless you have such an unbelievably screwed up environment, almost nothing works. It actually works very nicely. And so what they have done is they have rolled it right into this process. So if you have, say, a Windows Server 2008 R2 Active Directory, or 2008 or 2003 for that matter, and you promote a domain controller to Windows Server 2012, right there in the wizard it will say, okay, I see everything looks fine, passed all prerequisite checks, and it will say upgrading forest, dot, 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 uh-oh. Then it'll say upgrading domain, dot, 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 done. And then it just moves on and completes the DC promo process. And so you just watched AD prep, forest prep, and domain prep go by with no problems at all. Now, if you're of a conservative frame of mind, and which is something that I had to be because I was affecting approximately 85,000 users, you can still run those tasks manually. But the reality is, you know, most IT professionals are not full-time AD guys. They're generalists. 80% of IT pros are generalists. And they just want it to work, and they don't want to dissect it down to the nth degree. And they'll be, I think, very happy to see how this wizard works and how much simpler it is. And it'll even log you off when it's all done for you to log back on, and voila, it's all set.
Excellent. So that's awesome. That's an amazing change in the installation, and that's great information. So let's look at once we do and run through that wizard and get it all installed. So then what? What about managing Active Directory from there? You know, there on. I know you mentioned the Server Manager tool and it's updated. But what kind of tools can we look at for Active Directory 2012? Are there different changes in Server 2012?
There are a few of them. I mean, the tools we all, you know, that we recognize, Active Directory users in computers, which is colloquially known as ADUC, is still there. ADUC it's still there, but it's not being enhanced anymore. The new tool, and that not brand new, but the new enhanced lemon-scented tool for managing Active Directory is Active Directory Administrative Center. ADAC. So I like to describe it as ADAC is dead, long live ADAC. So ADAC is a much more, it does a lot more than Active Directory users in computers did, and it has enhanced functionality because it incorporates all the new functionality for Active Directory in Windows 2012. It has, for example, a graphical recycle bin. It has capabilities to enable something that is majorly important, not appreciated right now, but I think a milestone in Active Directory is the ability to incorporate claims into Active Directory or generate claims out of Active Directory. One of the features that Active Directory Administrative Center has that I think really should be a part of practically all of the management tools is ADAC has a PowerShell history viewer. So if you're like me, and I freely admit that PowerShell is and has been for a long time number one on the list of technologies I should be better at, but I'm not. In Windows 2012, you know, Jeffrey Snover and his gang have done a lot to make PowerShell less intimidating with the PowerShell ISC 3.0 and all the cool stuff in that. But we all know it's always better to look at existing code if you know what it does and simply plagiarize it and reuse it for what you want to do. So the PowerShell History Viewer is a little window that pops up at the bottom of ADAC. And if you do something like create an account, you know, delete an account, change the phone number on an account, you know, anything like that, anything that you do in ADAC, what it essentially is a front end for generating PowerShell scripts to make these changes. So the PowerShell History Viewer simply shows, after you've done it, it just simply shows the PowerShell scripts that were generated to use. And it has easy ways to copy it so you can paste it into some other application. So you could do some fairly complicated process against a user or against a group and simply copy out the PowerShell script for there and then reuse it in the future just by running those scripts in PowerShell without having to go through ADAC every time. So I think that, and it takes a little bit of getting used to. When you're used to ADAC, it's a little bit different. But it's pretty good. The other area associated in managing Active Directory is related to Server Manager. And it's not specifically managing Active Directory with ADAC, but it's the one of the nice features about Server Manager is the ability to manage roles across all of the servers supporting the role. I'm kind of a visual guy, and so what I like to think of it as in 2008 R2 and 2008, Server Manager was you would go to the server and then you would manipulate the roles on the server. I think of it as sort of a vertical cut. Here's the server and here's the roles that are on the server. Whereas what you can also do in Server Manager in 2012 is horizontally. Here are the servers, but here's the role across all of the servers. So specifically for Active Directory management, and for that matter DNS management, which is integral to Active Directory, you can go to the ADDS role in Server Manager and look at all the servers that are managing that role. You can look at the health of the servers, you can look at their performance, you can look at their event logs, which is a nice way to cut it because, you know, since AD is a distributed application, it's really kind of hard to look at AD holistically just by looking at one server. Now, Server Manager is great for that, and you can launch ADAC from there. You can also launch ADUC from there. I think it's kind of funny. In Server Manager, you can right-click on a server that has the ADDS role installed on it, and it will give you a huge laundry list of ADDS commands or tools you can run against it. Unfortunately, many of these tools are command line tools. So if you say, oh, look, there's a new version of repadmin here. Great. Let me right click and fire off repadmin. And what it does is it launches a command prompt and executes repadmin with no options, which doesn't work. So you just get a help file and you're kind of stuck. So some of the tools are there, but we're still not entirely away from running those with all of their obscure switches and all that sort of thing.
Very cool. Still a lot of good power in that managing Active Directory there.
Excellent. Yeah.
So the next piece is virtualization. A lot of people run their Active Directory inside virtualization, and that's been supported in the past, but there's been issues. And there has been changes to Active Directory to help with some of those issues, and can you tell us about that?
Sure. The way I have heard it, and I've heard it from some CSS people is, I'll generalize it to say one of the top support call generators for CSS is Active Directory, and one of the top call generators for Active Directory is problems from virtualizing domain controllers, and to this day, when I'm out, I've been doing some talking about Windows Server 2012, and I have to query the people in the audience, and I say, how many of you are virtualizing Active Directory to some extent, you know, and most of the hands go up. And then I say, how many of you are strictly following the guidelines that Microsoft says to do when you're virtualizing Active Directory? And, like, at least half of the hands go down. And I proceed to give them a verbal spanking saying, you could really shoot yourself in the foot if you don't go back and pay attention to what's going on. The rule that I say for when you're virtualizing Active Directory, and this is boiling down into one sentence about a five-page Microsoft KB article, is don't do anything to AD that AD doesn't understand. AD does not understand restoring itself from snapshots. That's happening under the covers. If you're doing if you're recovering Active Directory from a supported backup method, Active Directory makes several changes to ensure that it works correctly with all the other domain controllers in the domain in the forest. For example, resetting the invocation ID, which is the database version of its own local Active Directory database. Well, if you restore Active Directory from a snapshot, which if you're no AD expert, and again, remember, 80% of IT pros are generalists, then sure, why not? That's pretty great. Why don't I just do that? Well, what happens is that particular domain controller suddenly snaps back in time, does not know that it's gone back in time, and starts trying to communicate with the other domain controllers in the domain. And you can run into problems with USN's update sequence numbers, which is a key component of how replication around the domain controllers works. Now, in R2008, and a lot in R2, they put safeguards in so that if the other domain controllers recognized that perhaps this rollback had happened to one of the domain controllers that they were talking to, they immediately shut down replication to that domain controller, so badness can't spread in the forest. But there are circumstances where that can happen, and that can get you in a serious hole in Active Directory. You run into what's called USN rollback, and you can actually get divergence within your domain or within your forest, where two parts of the domain or forest are actually operating differently with different sets of objects, and it's extremely hard to get it back. And that is probably everybody's paranoid about, oh, I'm going to wreck my schema and I'm going to have to recover my forest. And that it's very, very, very rare. But this is one way that you can do it. If you do this on a regular basis to a number of domain controllers, you can really hose up your forest. So this was a primary goal of the AD team in Windows 2012 to make Active Directory virtualization proof. So the way they did it was to make AD aware that something had happened to it under the covers. But to make that change, they had to go all the way to the bottom of the stack. They had to go to the hypervisor. And in the hypervisor, they created a flag called VM generation ID. And the VM generation ID is a flag whose value changes if the virtual machine has been restored from a snapshot. And what happens is that VM gen ID flag is passed up to the operating system, which then passes it up to Active Directory. Active Directory was rewritten, updated to recognize VM gen ID. And it says, oh, this is different. This VM gen ID is different. So I have to take some precautions to keep bad things from happening. And it resets the invocation ID. It dumps the RID pool, does a couple other things to make sure it can replicate successfully with the other Active Directory domain controllers. So, bottom line now is that Active Directory is virtualization safe. At the last time I talked to the directory services team, the AD team, they hadn't quite committed to putting down in print that you could safely virtualize everything in Active Directory, but the general gist of it was there really was no technical reason why you can't safely virtualize all of Active Directory now. So, that's my long-winded dissertation on AD virtualization.
Well, that was great. It explained it quite a bit. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And it's a huge benefit, right? I mean, we can actually put it in there and have some assurance that we're not going to destroy Active Directory when somebody does a snapshot restore.
It does. And it has a side benefit of you finally have the ability now in Windows 2012 that you can clone domain controllers. You know, and people always wanted to do it in 2008 in R2, hey, great, it's a virtual machine. Why don't I just, you know, shut it down, export it, copy it, import it? No, bad things happen in that. But in Windows 2012, it's pretty easy to clone a domain controller. You take the DC that you want to clone, you add it to a security group called clonable domain controllers. So we now have a new word, clonable, in AD. And you create a configuration file, an XML configuration file, saying what do you want the new domain controller's name to be, what's its IP, you know, that sort of thing. And it's checked against, the services on the box are checked against a list of known good services that will survive cloning successfully. And you can tweak this list if you want. And then you shut down the VM, you export the VM, and then you simply import it as many as you as many times as you want as a copy to create clones of that initial domain controller. So this is useful for two reasons. One, it can be an easy way to create more domain controllers and to quickly scale up your AD environment, and if you have some reason that you want to do that. The other, and it is not so well known, but I think it's a huge benefit, is in a very difficult or a very scary area called Active Directory Forest Recovery. What happens if you lose your whole forest? Having just come through, not myself personally, but having many companies having just gone through Hurricane Sandy, disaster recovery is super, super important. So we used to talk about At Intel, we used to talk about the smoking hole in the ground scenario. And really, this is the water up to 6 feet scenario. The advantage, to understand the advantage of cloning domain controllers in forest recovery, you have to understand the very, very basic process that you do to recover a trashed forest is, number one, you assume that you have good backups of the forest, of either one or two domain controllers in every domain that you have. Then what you do is you get someplace where you can actually create domain controllers safely and presumably isn't under 6 feet of water, and you use those backups to create a seed forest. So if you have a forest that has a root domain and two child domains, you'd have one domain controller in the root and one domain controller for each child. So you have a small but working AD. The problem, of course, is that a one domain controller domain, it doesn't do anyone any good because everybody at the company is running around with their hair on fire trying to log on at the same time, and these domain controllers will melt down in little pools of silicon if everybody tries to do it all at once. What you have to do is you have to scale that forest up as quickly as you can. Well, if it's 2012, this is where you clone domain controllers. You create your seed forest, and you say, okay, baby, let's clone these guys, bang, and start banging out multiple domain controllers in different locations if necessary or in the same location, which quickly gives you the capacity to have everybody to log back on and get your forest going again. So that's potentially a great benefit if you update your disaster recovery procedures.
Excellent. Yeah, that's going to make a huge difference in speed. Okay, so we get to the last thing I'd like to talk about. The one last feature in AD that I was looking at in enhancements was the dynamic access. Mm. So it's probably more than AD, right? But what can you tell us about dynamic access, how it works, and what it does for us?
Sure. Yes, it's listed as being dynamic access control is listed as being one feature, but it really is a collection of features or a collection of enhancements. They're all tied together. And together, it's a very complex technology or collection of technologies that enables you to solve one particular problem. And the problem is this. The CISO, the Chief Information Security Officer for a company, or whoever's responsible for policy, you know, because of SOX or HIPAA or PCI compliance, or simply because the CEO said so, they set some policy, thou shalt not keep personally identifiable information, PII, unencrypted on a file server, you know, because we don't want to get in HR problems and only HR can access it and all that sort of thing. Well, it's all very well and good for the CISO to say that, but it's very, very difficult to implement that down at the file server level, because you have independent file servers, you have file server administrators that don't even know what's on the file servers. You have different groups responsible for it. You have people that have moved in, they've moved out. You know, we all know it's actually a nightmare down there, right at the file server level, what all is going on. So dynamic access control is designed to put all this together and make it enforceable. So what it does, it kind of has four major areas. It has classification, which allows you to classify files automatically, and you can encrypt files based on how they're classified. And this exists right now in 2008. It's called FCI, File Classification Infrastructure, but it's been greatly beefed up in Windows 2012. It has access control, so you can now control access to files not just by security groups, but by a central access policy that says, a simply written central access policy that says, you know, I'll give you an example in half a second. It uses updates to Active Directory, it uses claims in Active Directory, and just as a small aside, the reason I say that it's so big that Active Directory supports claims is that because if you're an AD administrator, and most of the people in the Windows world, it's all about Kerberos and domains and all that. Once you get outside of the Microsoft world into the internet, into web services, and into the rest of the universe, they use claims-based authentication and claims-based access control. I don't have time to get into claims here. But if you go to my enterprise identity column, I talk a lot about claims federation, where it's going. In the Microsoft world, the closest first way to find out about claims is to look up Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS. So anyway, you can now use claims in Active Directory to control access to files. So instead of if you want to and a couple of groups together, instead of having these complicated security group layers to come up with the correct logical expression to have access to this file, you can actually use claims to very directly explain how you want access to them. You can audit access with dynamic access control once you've set it up, so of course for reporting purposes, and you can encrypt them. So a quick example of what dynamic access control enables you to do when it's fully implemented would be, number one, scan the files on this server and look for the number format that matches a social security number. If you find it in there, automatically encrypt that file. If you have a file that has a social security number on it that is not encrypted and you drop it on a file share that has that rule enabled, it will automatically encrypt. Then you can write a central access policy that says if a file has PII data on it, personally identifiable information on it, number one, encrypt it. Number two, the only people that can have access to it are members of the HR department that are full-time employees that are on-site and are accessing the file from a domain-joined notebook computer, from a domain-joined PC, which is a degree of access control and reporting back that the likes of which we've never seen before. It's a very complicated technology to implement completely, but there are parts of it, like using claims-based access, that you can start using right now.
So, very interesting. Awesome tool. Awesome.
Very, very powerful. And to do it entirely, to do this whole project for this would be just a massive, massive project, because it allows you to rethink how you want to control access to files. But the reality is, right now, we have millions of security groups out there, and you have to rethink how you want to handle things.
And we can get rid of some of those millions of groups too.
You can. To make it work, interestingly, the Active Directory team managed to stuff these claims inside the Kerberos ticket. And to make room, they did interesting things with compression and all that, that, you know, we can save for another time. But yeah, a whole lot of work went into dynamic access control and making it all work.
Excellent. Sean, I really want to thank you today. What you've shared with us, the knowledge is awesome. Great stuff. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you for spending the time.
Yeah, it's always great fun to talk about what's going on in Windows 2012 because there are so many, I mean, there are so many great features. It's just fun.
I agree.